This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Sasha Pfeiffer in for Meghna Chakrabarty. Robin Fleming tries to give a voice to the voiceless, the poor, the uneducated, the unknown. That's quite a chore when people are alive.
It's even trickier when they're dead. But Fleming's goal is even more impressive, giving a voice to the lepers, the executed, the normal and the nameless people who lived in medieval Britain during the 5th century after the fall of Rome.
Earlier this month, Fleming was in her office at Boston College, where she chairs the history department, when she received a phone call from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation.
The caller had some pretty big news. Robin Fleming was a winner of a MacArthur Genius Award, a grant worth more than $600,000.
She's one of three of those winners this year from the Boston area, including two scientists from MIT. And Robin Fleming now joins me in the studio. And Robin, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you very much.
And Robin, I know you've been telling the story a lot this week, but it has to be asked of every MacArthur winner, just like of every Nobel winner. So where were you when you got the call? How was it made, and how surprised were you?
I was in my office minding my own business. The phone rang. I actually thought it might be a dirty call because somebody said, can we speak confidentially? But they gave me the news. I actually don't have much memory of the call itself, but I did spend the rest of the afternoon wondering if I'd made it all up.
But it was very true.
But it was true.
So these MacArthur Awards, of course, are often called genius grants. But actually, the MacArthur Foundation, we understand, isn't crazy about that because they think it only implies high IQ, whereas they want to take a broader look. And they want to say that these are grants that recognize creative thinkers who challenge conventional wisdom and who take risks. So tell us how you think your work does that.
One of the things that I'm interested in doing is moving the lines between disciplines. And so historians are trained to work with texts. We write history from texts. But one of the things that I'm interested in doing is writing about periods without any texts, which means that I have to use material evidence or the evidence that's excavated by archaeologists. So the risk that I took is trying something that most historians don't do.
And this summer you were overseas doing some research related to your work. Where were you and what were you doing?
I was working in these kind of dirty warehouses full of big boxes of pottery that have been excavated by field archaeologists, trying to see what kind of things people in the 5th century after the fall of Rome were putting in the graves of their loved ones.
You were in Italy?
No, I was in Hertfordshire, which is not nearly as excited as Italy. It's to the north of London.
So tell us more about this slice of history. For people who aren't familiar with going way back, what is it about that time period that fascinates you and that attracted you to it?
Well, I think that the thing about Britain is that Britain's a little bit different than the rest of the Roman Empire in that when Rome fell, it fell very hard and it fell very fast. And so there was an economic collapse in Britain. And it meant that the people who were living through this period were living through a period of huge change. And these were people whose whole world got pulled out from under them, and they had to recreate the world, and they worked very hard at it for a couple of hundred years.
So what are you looking for when you do your work? You're trying to piece together what their lives were like, even though there wasn't much written down about them?
Right. There's not really anything written down about them, but what I'm trying to do is to look at things like their cemeteries and their settlements and actually try to figure out from the potsherds and from tooth enamel and human bone and pieces of glass what life was actually like for people in that period.
And of all the eras in history that you could have studied, what drew you to that one?
A super good undergraduate teacher.
That's really
what draws us all, I think, to what we end up doing.
Oh, that's very interesting. So one question, which is that the MacArthur Awards used to be $500,000, which is a huge amount of money. They've actually gone up. I think it's now $625,000.
Yes, it is.
Comes with no strings attached. You could just go on vacation with that money if you wanted. What do you think you're going to do with it?
I don't know. I'm going to have to think hard about it. I think one of the things that MacArthur probably does is pick people who aren't going to buy sailboats. So I'm going to decide what I'm going to do about it. I mean, I will buy some time off from administrative duties so that I can actually do my own work. But I want to think hard about how I can use this money to enable collaborations with archaeologists, because I think it's very important for historians and archaeologists to work together. And having this money will really help in that.
But to do some of your work, it sounds like it could be potentially expensive, carbon dating and that sort of thing. Are there any technologies that you can now afford that you couldn't before you had this award?
Yes, I'm really interested in stable isotopes, which are trapped in human bone and tooth enamel, which can tell us all sorts of things about what people ate, if they moved between childhood and adulthood, when they were weaned. Maine, for example, so you can actually get a little picture of these people's lives by doing this. It's not super expensive, but it's a little bit expensive, and I'll be able to actually help fund some of this research.
And Robin Fleming, besides doing research at Boston College, you teach as well?
Of course I teach.
And what are your classes?
I teach a class on the Vikings, I teach a class on the fall of Rome, and I also teach a class on material culture, where I let my students work on whatever interests them. So I've got these great papers on board games and tattoo equipment and spy gizmos.
Really? So classes like the Fall of Rome and Vikings, are those popular? Do you get a lot of students?
I do. There's a built-in audience of people who have read Game of Thrones and Tolkien. Ah. But most of my classes are very guy-heavy and not very girl-heavy.
But really, you're seeing that there's almost a popular culture influence where Game of Thrones makes people want to learn more about the era in which the game is set.
Oh, absolutely.
Really? That's interesting.
Yep.
Will you use any of the money, do you think? You said you'll take a little break from administration. Anything to just sort of, just luxuriate, spend a little on yourself?
The most fun thing I do is my research, so we'll have to think about it. But actually going and seeing the sites that I'm interested in is pretty fun for me. So.
Congratulations again on your award.
Thank you very much.
Robin Fleming is head of the History Department at Boston College, and she is one of this year's 2013 MacArthur Genius Award winners.